And folk rock group from Ukraine, Teen Sonsia, with a song called Yihale Kozake, which translates as Riding Cossacks, and also translates, or is an alternate title for this tune, is Slaves Are Not Allowed in Paradise. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачі «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння. Говорить Павіна, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm your host, Pavlina. Thank you so much for joining me. We've got a great program lined up for you today. We have, as usual, news from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine Today, as well a book review. This is a review of two novels, the original and the sequel, and it is a political thriller written by a Vancouver author, and it pretty much predicted what is going on in Ukraine right now. Great gift-giving idea, or just simply as a treat for yourself if you haven't read it yet. As well, we've got a little bit of a commentary on the U.S. election outcome and how it may be perceived by Ukraine's nemesis. So stay tuned for all of that. We've also got our usual Proverb of the Week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is a group from Ukraine called Hrushchi and Pavuchok.
Життя своє, лай, ла-ла-ла-ла-лай, ла-лай. Do you want to listen to Nash Holos without using your web browser? Well, it's very easy. Download Stitcher's Smart Radio for iPhone and Android.
Ukrainian Jewish Heritage is a bi-weekly series sponsored by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter based in Toronto, featuring stories of Ukrainians and Jews working together in solidarity and harmony to restore and strengthen centuries-old bonds and affinities nearly destroyed by hostile outside forces in the bloody 20th century and even today. Tune in next week for another episode of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage, brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. British rocker by the name of Nicky Rubin, who spent many years in Kiev on the nightclub scene, and that was his signature song, which he has recently redone the lyrics as well as the arrangement, and that, of course, being Ukrainian Kiss. Ви слухаєте радіопередачу «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. Говорить Павліна. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio on the PCJ Radio Network, coming to you from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. I'm your host, Павліна. Now, the latest news stories from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine's first international English news channel, Ukraine Today.
54 attacks have been reported by Ukraine's ATO headquarters in the past day. Three Ukrainian soldiers have received injuries. Russian-backed militants don't stop shelling peaceful villages. After a direct fire, a 30-year-old resident on Novhorodska village died, according to TSN news agency. Separatist forces were also firing into residential areas of Mariinka. A five-floor building and two private houses have been damaged, as well as a local store left in ruins. They have also used grenade launchers against a checkpoint of Mayorsk, where dozens of cars were waiting in a line, two of which burst into flame. Luckily, nobody was hurt there. Small arms, grenade launchers, armored fighting vehicles, and machine guns have been applied by Russian proxies around the Donbas conflict zone overnight. The villages and towns of Taramchuk, Krasnohorivka, Talakivka, Stanitsa Luhanska, and Krymske have been the epicenters of provocations. The Ukrainian troops have been shelled 50 times by Russian-backed separatists for the past 24 hours, according to Ukraine's ATO headquarters. Five Ukrainian soldiers are reported wounded overnight in the Donbas conflict zone. Militants have applied artillery and banned mortars almost along the whole front line. The Mariupol area remains a hotspot. There, 31 cases of a ceasefire break have been recorded. In Shirokine, Talakivka, Vodyane, and Hnutove, the pro-Russian mercenaries engaged 82mm mortars and infantry vehicles. The Donetsk direction has seen 10 provocations. Machine guns and 82mm mortars were used by the occupant forces in the village of Luhansk. The outskirts of the city of Avdiivka were also a ground for militant shelling. Mortars, machine guns and firearms were used there against the Ukrainian army that had to return the fire. 9 combat clashes have happened in the Luhansk direction. Machine guns and mortars were used to attack the Ukrainian defenders in the towns and villages of Novozvanivka, Novoaleksandrivka and Novotoshkivske, as well as in Stanitsa Luhanska and Krymske. 52 militant provocations overnight. Ukraine's ATO headquarters has reported about 5 Ukrainian soldiers have been wounded over the past day. Russian-backed separatist forces resumed their fire in the area of Svitlodarsk Bulge, where there have been no attacks for 2 months. 32 cases of a ceasefire violations have been recorded in the direction of Mariupol. Traditionally, the most intense shelling has taken place in the suburbs of Mariupol. Militants have applied mortars, grenade launchers, and machine gun fire. In the Luhansk sector, Russian proxies have attacked 12 times. In the Donetsk sector, 8. Enemy snipers were firing into Ukrainian army positions in Stanitsa Luhanska. Armored personnel carriers have been active in Krasnohorivka and Shirokine. Mariinka and Vodyane were shelled with 120-caliber mortars. 3 civilians were injured yesterday when residential neighborhoods of Mariinka and Krasnohorivka were shelled by militant forces. Russian-backed militants opened their fire into Ukrainian army positions with Grad missile systems and cannon artillery in the Luhansk sector. Missile shelling also took place in the area of Krymske village. In general, Ukraine's ATO headquarters has recorded 47 breaches of a ceasefire for the past day in the Donbas conflict zone. Novoaleksandrivka, Stanitsa Luhanska and Orikhove were attacked by separatist forces as well. The situation hasn't changed in the Mariupol direction. It remains a hot spot on the ATO zone map. Shirokine, Mariinka and Pavlopil were shelled with grenade launchers and 120-caliber mortars. Militant fire damaged many residential houses and gas pipes in the village of Vinohradne. 600 buildings were cut from gas supply. On October the 19th, Russian-backed proxies released and transferred to Ukrainian representatives 23 prisoners from the jails under militant control. It happened 3 days after the Donbass warlord nicknamed Motorola was murdered. Among those 23, 11 are the criminals who were sentenced to a life imprisonment, as Ukrainian counterintelligence says. During an interview with the prisoners, we determined they had been forced to fight in illegal formations of the so-called separatist republics. The prisoners themselves helped to identify the mobilizer to convict's army. Savchuk Alexander, the so-called prosecutor for correctional facilities of the Donetsk People's Republic and previously a deputy chief of the Yanakiova penal colony, he became the one who assigned lifetime prisoners and dangerous criminals to serve at the front from the separatist forces. This is the first sign that militants were looking for nothing more than cannon fodder from inmates from local jails. The Ukrainian army learned and witnessed in the Avdiivka industrial zone. In April 2016, Ukrainian soldiers saw people from the other side dressed in civilian cloth digging trenches. Some of them were wearing prison garb. They were prisoners dressed in civilian clothing, looking like they were not afraid to die. These prisoners were caught up as hostages in the town of Shirok. Released from where? From prison. Sentenced for what? For theft. More often than not, prisoners with a lifetime sentence were asked to fight. These prisoners have nothing to lose. From our colony, two were taken to the front. 11 convicts were transported from the Yanakiova penal colony, which is located in the occupied part of Donbas. At least another two were used by militants as soldiers, convict Strelchuk and convict Verilan. Separatists forced them to go, fired guns into the prison's gates. Strelchuk, who fought in militant formations against the Ukrainian army, when he returned to prison, he spoke about his fighting service. I talked to Strelchuk. He said that when a Grad missile system arrived, it was all computerized, getting location coordinates for launch and fire. Both militant prisoners returned to the Yanakiova prison a year later. If to be more exact, separatist forces returned them, and they are not the only ones, and not the first, who exchanged their freedom for killing Ukrainians. The number of prisoners among militants is not a secret for the Ukrainian intelligence. About 30% may be involved. I would not fight. I've killed enough people. Now the future of 23 prisoners, including 11 lifetime convicts, is in the hands of the Ukraine's judiciary system and Ukrainian taxpayers. Ukraine's border service reported seizing a Russian drone which was drifting in the Sea of Azov. The drone Orlan 10 is a multifunctional unmanned aircraft and was produced in Russia. The aircraft can reach an altitude of 5 kilometers and travel 120 kilometers away from its ground control station. The Mariupol Sea Guard spotted it 3 kilometers out at sea during regular monitoring of the area. Currently, the device is being examined by experts in order to retrieve further information about it. The Office of President's Commissioner for Rehabilitation Assistance for Ukrainian Servicemen Wounded in Donbas Area is to be established in Ukraine. The initiative was announced by the Ukrainian military, who had taken part in the annual marathon of the U.S. Navy in Washington and was supported by Ukraine's president during their meeting. The office will be headed by a sanitary instructor of the 128th Separate Mountain Infantry Brigade, Vadim Sviridenko, who lost limbs as a result of frostbite, but not his moral courage. The military, who underwent a social rehabilitation in the U.S., want to implement the gained experience in Ukraine. The president called it an example of efficient cooperation between Ukraine and the NATO countries in the provision of medical assistance, prosthetics, and social rehabilitation of servicemen. Through a system of NGOs, the presidential administration will give you power so that your voice can be strong and effective. You are proving that Ukraine's army can be a powerful force. An underground bunker with a massive arsenal of weapons, including missiles, mortars, and anti-tank mines, found in a private house just outside Kyiv, has turned out to be a warehouse for an online store allegedly selling deactivated weapons and inert ammunition. The property's owner says these searches have happened before and accuses prosecutors of stealing a lot of his belongings. As media report, the businessman has already had problems with the law. The fact they withdrew the ammunition is okay, I understand it. Why would they exempt a pneumatic gun and call it a combat one? Under court's decision, prosecutors conducted the search last week. Later on, the man called the police and filed a report that law enforcement agency workers stole his belongings and damaged the property. Now, almost all the shelves in the warehouse are empty. Inari Konyev says the same event took place last year. Then, police withdrew weapons from his warehouse and later returned them. This time, they withdrew everything. However, he didn't receive any notification on the items confiscated. Law enforcement agencies suspect the homestead's owner of producing and selling arms. According to their version, this warehouse contained equipment to manufacture weapons and reject any suggestions of stealing his belongings. Hinadi continues that everything in the garage is for sale. The man has a store in Kyiv. It was searched as well, but nothing found. The prosecutor's office invited him for an interrogation with documents authorizing his rights for the weapons. However, Hinadi didn't appear at the time. According to some media, in August this year, a court of the city of Nizhyn found him guilty of the illegal selling of combat guns and sentenced him to a 5-year imprisonment. However, Hinadi bailed himself with $12,000 and appealed the decision. Now experts have to examine the confiscated weapons and deliver their verdict. The last monument to the Soviet leader Vladimir Lenin in Zaporizhzhia region was finally pulled down. According to the activists, this Lenin was hiding in the village of Novoselivka. A demolishing crew arrived at the monument late at night, tied a rope around it, and easily tugged it down. The local authorities didn't call the police. On the contrary, they now have to explain why the monument hadn't been dismantled under the recent law on decommunization. Ukrainian developers have come up with the revolutionary system of GPS wayfinders that help people with visual impairments to navigate in and around the city. At the moment, this system is being tested. The devices have been installed in one of the most intricate underpass for the blind right in the center of Kyiv, Майдан Незалежності. I am here and need to find an entrance to the underpass. I have a phone with a pre-installed application called Open World. Igor Kushnir is the first to test that system for the blind. He has not been able to see for already 8 years. In the underground passage under Independence Square, where even sighted people can barely navigate, the man is launching this application. The program scans trackers nearby. By Bluetooth, it sends a signal, and a tracker makes itself visible. Then I can hear a tracker and go there. In such a way, Igor manages to get to the post office on the Maidan. Only these exits from the underpass are equipped with such trackers so far. It is a Ukrainian invention. Ivan Selezniov from Mykolaiv created it, and the discovery quickly became sensational amongst designers. Since then, programmers have been improving on the idea, and it's undergoing technical trials. 600 trackers have already been ordered by other cities. The success lies in its simplicity, a Paralympic sportsman Vasil says. He is demonstrating how the system works. Not knowing his surrounding, he can easily reach places he needs. Ukrainians with sight problems call the invention a revolution in their world. Yet, Ukrainian cities for them form a solid obstacle course. Only in the capital, there are 70,000 people with visual impairments that try not to leave their homes because of inaccessibility of places. After a successful test, trackers are planned to be equipped along the whole street of Khreshchatyk. In order to equip Khreshchatyk Street, we have already developed a draft budget of $2,580 for 89 trackers. If mass production of these trackers is established, the price of one tracker won't cost more than $16, according to the developers. The Kyiv authorities promised to equip all municipal facilities and institutions with the GPS navigation in the near future, and they will be marked on a map and available through the application.
And with that, we've come to the end of this week's Ukraine News Roundup for this edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. To hear more news from Ukraine today, check all of this week's editions of Nash Holos at www.nashholos.com. And for their full roster of breaking stories, as well as interviews, press reviews, and in-depth analysis on Ukraine, follow Ukraine Today on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and their live blog, uatoday.tv.
Причина додому зайшла мені чорна кура до рову.
Іде, іде чорна кура додому, не заважай, не заважай по дорозі нікому. Іде, іде чорна кура додому, не заважай, не заважай по дорозі нікому.
Причина до густу, знайшов же я вишиваною густу.
Ой, чи мила, чи не мила і шила, лембіона вишиваною била. Ой, чи мила, чи не мила і шила, лембіона вишиваною била.
And a group out of Edmonton that goes by the name of UB which nobody knows what it stands for, including perhaps the group. If they do know, they're not telling. I think it's Ukrainian Boys, but who knows? Doesn't matter. It's a great group, and that is from their first CD, which is called Hardwood Harmonics. The song was Yaki Sho Yaz Dobrochena, also translated as Black Chicken Stew. Coming up next is a group from Ukraine called Veseli Muzika, which means happy musicians. And here they are with a song called Kolebmant Mene Zranku. And this is a title that sort of loses in the translation. Loosely, it's In the Morning.
Печене, то що з'їв би і смажене, пили би водиці з чистої криниці, чи згарняти, чи зманяти, аби хто приніс до хати, пили би водиці з чистої криниці, чи згарняти, чи зманяти, аби хто приніс до хати.
Ви слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. And now a look at world politics, courtesy Radio Europe, Radio Free Liberty, and the Power Vertical podcast with Brian Whitmore.
Hi there, I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast, and this is the Daily Vertical. Vladimir Putin may have been quick to congratulate Donald Trump on his victory in the U.S. presidential election, but I'm not so sure they're popping champagne corks in the Kremlin right now. And I'm pretty sure members of the Russian foreign policy establishment aren't unanimously rubbing their hands in glee. Because for much of the U.S. election campaign, the working assumption of many Kremlin watchers was that Vladimir Putin's regime wanted Donald Trump to win the U.S. presidency. I've never been entirely convinced of this, and I'm not now. What I always believed the Kremlin was doing with moves like the DNC hack and other interventions in the U.S. election was trolling American democracy and trying to cause voters to lose faith in the process. The Kremlin and the Russian foreign policy establishment may not like Hillary Clinton, but unlike Trump, they saw her as predictable. Putin and company expected her election, but they wanted her presidency to be hobbled from the start. They wanted a messy and contested election result that would allow them to say American democracy is not as clean as it claims to be. What they got instead was a clean, clear, unambiguous, and uncontested result. And what they got was an unpredictable U.S. president who may just turn out to be more than Moscow bargained for. I'm Brian Whitmore, and that was the Daily Vertical.
Alexei Kerekeshchai, lead man of the group Fata Morgana, with a traditional Ukrainian folk song, Oy Upoli Nivka, in the cornfield.
Welcome to Knizhka Corner, book reviews by Myra Junik, Ukrainian stories in English.
In this edition of Knizhka Corner, we look at two books by Vancouver author Miroslav Patriu. Miroslav Patriu's Yaroslav's Treasure and the sequel, Yaroslav's Revenge, explore the current political and economic situation in Ukraine, as well as the history of a nation ravaged by invaders for hundreds of years. Perhaps the most remarkable aspect of these novels is the writer's extensive research and insight into Russian influence in Ukraine. The current crisis in Ukraine was no surprise to Patriu, since he predicted it in his two novels. In the prologue to Yaroslav's Treasure, Batu Khan is attacking Kyiv in 1240. In order to save the great library of Yaroslav the Wise, Ratibor, the leader of the Ukrainian warriors, seals it in an underground cave. It will stay hidden until 2003, when another Yaroslav, a Ukrainian-Canadian university student from Vancouver, discovers an ancient family treasure in Lviv. The treasure is a chronicle written over 750 years ago, detailing the location of the priceless lost library. Yarko's every move is watched by Russian agents who want to recover the great library for their own political purposes. While all of this is going on, Yarko falls in love with Ksenia, whose brother Vlotko is a policeman helping Yarko to find the treasure. As the quest unfolds, Ukraine experiences political change during the controversial election of President Yushchenko and the Orange Revolution, which tries to overthrow Ukraine's sham independence and staged democracy. Yaroslav's Revenge is the sequel to Yaroslav's Treasure. The political intrigue and nonstop action continue. It is now 2006, and Yarko is in Lviv working for Halimpex, the world's largest producer of glass Christmas tree ornaments. He acts as a courier for a clandestine organization fighting Russian influence in Ukraine. In the political sphere, Viktor Yanukovych has become the prime minister as the Orange Revolution slowly unravels. Yarko is determined to return the 11th century map of Vineland discovered in the Great Library of Yaroslav the Wise to Canada. Then his boss, Bohdan Dachko, is assassinated. Yarko gets involved in a complex web of intrigue which involves the KGB, the Mossad, nuclear weapons, Ukrainian government corruption, the Russian Black Sea Fleet, and drug smuggling. Historical figures such as President Yushchenko and his wife Katerina, Alexander Litvinenko, Vladimir Putin, and Stephen Harper appear alongside Petriu's fictional characters, making this highly suspenseful novel more realistic. Miroslav Petriu is a gifted storyteller who gives readers amazing insights into Ukrainian history and current events. He also provides a window into the reality of being a young Ukrainian-Canadian. As Yarko considers visiting Ukraine on his European vacation in Yaroslav's Treasure, Petriu tells readers, Yarko was boiling over from all the subtle pressure a young Ukrainian feels all his life. Learn the language, sing the songs, read the books, find a Ukrainian girl, and so on. Miroslav Petriu is a retired engineer who has a passion for history. He was recognized for his work in the Ukrainian community with the Taras Shevchenko Medal in 2008. His first novel, Yaroslav's Treasure, was originally written in Ukrainian and was awarded the Anna Pidruchny Award for New Writers in 2002. It was published in English in 2009. His second novel, Yaroslav's Revenge, was published in 2012. Each novel contains a series of very informative maps as well as a comprehensive glossary of terms. The Orange Revolution and the events of the Maidan awakened many Ukrainians throughout the world to their history and the reality of Russian influence in Ukraine. Miroslav Petriu's two novels, Yaroslav's Treasure and Yaroslav's Revenge, should be required reading for everyone who wants to learn more about Ukrainian history and current events. These books are available at Amazon, Chapters, and Kuta Uma.
Thanks, Myra. Join us again soon for another edition of Konishka Corner, book reviews by Myra Junik, here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio.
Thank you.
right here in the Fraser Valley. That was the Ukrainian Prairie Band and a traditional Ukrainian folk song from their CD called Traditional Music from Our Past. And the folk song was Oi Pit Hayim Hayim in the Green Grove. For the very best in Ukrainian programming, tune in to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio in Vancouver every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time on AM 1320 CHMB and streaming at am1320.com. Live in Nanaimo Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Time on CHLY 101.7 FM and online at chly.ca. And elsewhere in the world, here on the PCJ Radio Network on AM, FM, and shortwave radio. In between broadcasts, you can find us online at www.noshholos.com, where you can get podcast links to all three editions of the show. As well, make sure to follow Nash Holos on Twitter and please like our Facebook page. Нажаме ще скінчили нашу програму. Пора нам прощатися на ще один тиждень, бо вже час додому і сказати до побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Хто в науці добре поступає, тому і Бог помагає. And our proverb of the week translates as God helps those who study hard. A little reminder to any students tuning in to the program. Well, the clock on the wall tells me our time together is up for this week. So to take us to the end of our show, we've got the Parkland Pioneers from Manitoba and Yebik Doma. I'm Pavlina. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, до побачення.
Заплакала стара роба, що немала бика вдома, не плаче пла стара роба, єбик, єбик, єбик дома. Я до нього бичу, бичу, а ти мене запізничу, я до нього молить, болить, а ти мене рогом колить. Пішов я до корови, та й зайшов до пека, а корова си сказила, хіла дати молока. А ти мене не восходь, бо я знаю, що ти хочеш, а ти хочеш берега, мене ринки середа. Пішов я до вандруки, і там баба бив кажуки, та й пішов я до вантося, а там баба бив полоття. Пішов я додому, просто пив до йоки, а початися сказали, зіле мої панчоки. Заплакала стара вдова, що не мала бика вдома, не плач, не плач, стара вдова, єбек, єбек.